Be yourself. That's the message that I like to speak to of the generation. Don't try to have the best technical vocal. Just sing. I think people just need your soul.
Fatoumata Diawara is a multifaceted musician from Mali. A childhood actress and dancer, she escaped an arranged marriage at 19 and fled to Paris, where she joined a theatre company. She taught herself the guitar, going on to become the first black woman with a Gibson signature guitar in her name. Fatoumata is known for her unique ability to cross Malian rhythms with contemporary sounds. Because of this, she has been nominated for a Grammy and regularly collaborates with music giants. At the center of everything she does is her activism. In 2013, with her country in civil war, she gathered 40 Malian artists to record Maliko. This anthem still airs on Malian radio whenever tensions rise. About singing in Bambara, Fatoumata says, "I don't want people to understand what I'm saying. I want them to feel me." Fatoumata Diawara, my wonderful Malian queen, welcome to the African Imaginary Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
And welcome to Cape Town for the first time, for what I understand, but welcome back to South Africa. I first want to talk about your concert last night. I hear it was amazing. How did it feel?
I was feeling so grateful because being here is already a gift, you know, and also having, you know, at the beginning when it was, you know, it was the first show and I was like, it's too early because in Europe, I'm always the last one to play. And the first time I said, it's what? Yes, it's amazing in the end. But there will be people, people will be coming on that. I told my manager, do you think that people will come? He said, yes, maybe some, yeah, maybe yes or not. And at the end, it was so many people and I was so happy at Disneyland. And the show was amazing. I think so. I had a great time and I'm feeling like home and so blessed to be here.
Incredible. So, just to give our listeners some context, so you performed last night at the Cape Town International Jazz Festival. And actually, there was two Malian artists supposed to be performing on the same night. As you know, Salif Keita was supposed to be performing at the Montreux Jazz Festival in Franschhoek, and you were here in Cape Town. But from my colleagues who attended your performance, I hear it was absolutely riveting. I mean,
Thank you.
Heard that you did a cover of John Lennon's Imagine. I mean, you had the electric guitar. You did some Zulu dancing. Apparently, at some point, you were sprinting across the stage. I mean, how they described it is out of this world. That must have been an incredible
experience.
Show.
It's difficult to really tell about what people really experiences, you know. It's every night different. You know, the show depends to my energy, the way I feel. It's every night different, but it's always energetic, you know. I like to express my freedom on stage, yeah. In a normal life, I can look like a very quiet person, but once I go on stage, you know, it's like a second person. I change it totally in my mind and it's a different spirit. So then I show up, you know, my freedom as a female artist because, you know, it's difficult. Huh?
Yeah, of course.
It doesn't look like this, but it's super hard to be a woman and be, you know, be respected in this business. Musician that can really respect your work and without, you know, they always try to change your mind on things. I've been struggling a lot, you know, I'm still, you know, fighting. So for me, being where I am today is to convince other girls to say, you can be there. But I always like to tell them that it's not going to be easy. That's why on stage we see that strength in it, telling them. I won't properly say it with the words, but I'm going to show them, you know, you must stand, fight to be where you are, where you want to be, you know, be going. So it's like not a little school, but I would like to, you know, bring all my sisters that have a doubt on their mind, that have been trying to be leaders. And then afterwards, they give up because It's too hard. It's every step. It's like you have to fight. You know,
incredible.
It's never you never rest, you know. But it's possible because it's Miriam Makeba did it. Umu Sangare did. Angeliki Joizone. The continent is big, but we got at least a couple survivors. So
absolutely,
that could be 1,000 female, but it's absolutely. Only 3. You know. It's nothing.
And you are a groundbreaker in your own right. So we're going to talk a lot more about that as well as your social activism. But it sounds like it wasn't just a concert, but also a calling.
A little bit. Mm. Yeah. It's necessary.
Mm.
Yeah. You cannot pretend being saying that not everything is easy. No, I can't. I would lie. I don't want to lie to the girls. I don't want to lie to the future generation. What I'm doing is for them. You know,
incredible.
It's for the future generation. Telling them that they must be ready. You know, you can do it, but you have to be ready.
So I'm a Zulu girl, if you don't already know. So the girl in me is very fascinated by your outfits on stage and the fashion that you bring with.
I'm seeing a lot of queens. Every time I come to South Africa, this is my second time, but
okay.
Every time I see the queens from the, you know, from the past. I dream of them all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
They're very beautiful.
And you do make some references to South Africa as well. Like I've seen in some of your performances, I mean, you wear the beads, which we wear here as well. You wear the hats, which, you know, the married women wear in our culture. And I think you had one of those hats on stage. It's called Isicholo, which is...
Stolo,
exactly.
Stolo.
Which is what married women wear in our culture. So it's interesting to me to see you reference, you know, various parts of Africa and how you dress. But there's also a bit of a modern edge to it. So
yes.
Tell me about how all of it comes together. Do you have a stylist or do you do it all yourself?
No, unfortunately, I'm looking for
unfortunately.
One.
Unfortunately.
I need one stylist.
Maybe you can be one.
Somebody that can control me a bit because...
Yes.
I just go, you know, that freedom is also through my way, how I dress, you know.
Yeah.
It's like even the Malian people look at me like she's really from Mali. It does, she's, you know, from Mali, you know, because the way that I dress is totally personal. It's also represents my way, how I think, you know, that freedom in the same time.
Mm.
I don't want to look like nobody because inside I know that I'm different, you know.
Yeah.
Since I'm a child, that difference was very, you know, present. Outfit is very important to me because I was an actress, you know, when I was a child. Acting, movies and theaters, you need to dress well.
Yes. So is that where it comes
education,
from?
Yeah.
Okay.
That you take 1 month to prepare the dress for the movie and for the project of theaters. So I grew up with that education. So then for me, it's normal to bring that to my music. I never go on stage in a simple way, like jeans and t-shirt.
Mm.
No, for me, it's that's...
And do you work with specific designers or do you just pull things that you like? Do you collect clothing?
I collect things.
Okay.
I every place that we go, I like to go for shopping. I go to shop.
Okay.
And buy things, you know, and I combine things together.
Amazing.
And sometimes I sew because my mom, you know.
You make your own clothes
I
as well.
I close my,
wow.
Yeah. The one last night I did myself.
No way. You know? The blue dress.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a machine at home. I've been reading, you know, taking lessons on the internet, you know.
Okay.
I went on the internet trying to see how to sew. I bought my first machine and I do all my...
Wow.
You know, trousers, yeah.
So, Fatu, the designer. Are we
no,
going to see a collection
designer.
One day?
I'm not the designer. I'm just crazy.
Okay.
Yeah, because I don't have a time.
Amazing.
It relaxes me, you know, after touring, you know, a long tour, you know, when you come back from the tour, it's my passion, you know, to create something.
Mm.
I go to the studio, either I go to the studio to record a new songs. Because when my voice is very tight, like very heavy, like
yeah.
Nina Simone,
yeah.
I like that. And most of the time is the time for me to go to school, to the studio to record because the voice is totally relaxed.
Yes.
And at the same time, heavy, tired, and and strong. Otherwise, now with the children, I've got two children.
Yeah.
And so I stay home. And I was needing a second thing that can really relax me, that I don't need to go on social media.
Okay.
That I don't like reading too much. I'm sorry for that.
Okay.
But it's not good. I read, yeah. I just like to relax. And I saw just this
to
rhythm,
relax.
You know, tuka 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 tuka. It's like getting in touch with the music, but in a different way.
Yeah.
Not me, the composer, the machine composer.
Exactly. It's making the music
tuka,
for
tuka,
you.
Tuka, 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 tuka,
I love that. I
all
can
the
hear
day
the sound.
Long, yeah.
Wow.
It's like a mantra for
incredible.
Me.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible. Just the repetition of the sewing machine going up and down. Wow. Yeah. Wow, we can talk all day about this topic, by the way, fashion, girls, and machines. But anyway, I want to play a little game with you, if that's okay.
Oh my God, yeah, let's go.
Let's go.
I'm going to start with the pyramid.
Start with the pyramid. Okay, let's go. So the first word, connector.
Keep.
Keep.
Yeah.
You think you're a connector?
Yeah.
You're someone who connects things?
I think so, through the music, no?
The music, yeah.
Without the connection, you can't make a music.
Mm.
Even now, we're connected.
I mean, when I think of you, you seem like a connector in a collaborative sense.
Like a connection, no, connection, energy. No,
energy.
It's not an energy
yes.
one.
Yeah, that's where I was going
It's
with
fundamental,
that.
Yeah.
Let's keep going.
A circle, yeah.
Extrovert. Keep on toss.
Toss.
Yeah, I'm also not an extrovert.
It depends. Yeah.
It depends. Oh, foodie. Somebody who likes food.
Yes.
You like food?
Yeah.
Are you a good cook?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. What food do you cook?
Nobody eats my food, but I like to eat myself.
So how do you know you're a good cook?
Because I love
you believe it. Okay, you like your food.
I'm a big fan of my own cook. So.
And what food do you cook?
Traditional things, you know.
Really?
The fact that my husband is Italian.
Yeah.
And the children spend more time with him. Yeah. They, you know, they are used to the Italian food.
Yes.
So when I cook the African food, they don't like it.
Yes.
But I like it.
The
love
smell.
Now I eat my food. I'm so like, wow,
yes.
This is so good.
That's wonderful. But what do you cook for them that reminds you of Mali?
We have many type of food there. We got the mafé.
Okay.
Chep Jen. Chep is from Senegal, but Malian people also cook it. You know, we eat that. We have saga.
Okay.
Many.
What is
type
the most popular
thing?
Dish out of Mali?
Mafé beans, yeah.
Okay.
That's
okay. Is it like a stew?
Next time I'm going to cook that for you.
No, you have
we'll
to.
Love it, yeah.
Yeah.
So good. Easy to cook, yeah.
Okay. I'd love to taste some Mali
Do you like
food.
Cooking?
I like cooking for a big group. I don't like cooking
for yourself.
Like every day.
Uh-huh.
So I cook like maybe once a week for a big group. But if it's for a small group, it's not as interesting for me.
Really?
But I do know how to cook, yes. Every African girl knows how to cook, no?
And how is it? Yeah, I think so.
We didn't really have a choice.
What is the food, the traditional food from?
We have many. So, you know, in South Africa, we have 11 languages, so 11 tribes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think each one has food that's familiar for them. So, I mean, pap is quite a popular one.
Mm-hmm.
So that's made out of maize meal.
Mm-hmm.
They have it everywhere. I mean, in some countries, in Zimbabwe, they call it sadza.
Mm-hmm. In Mali, we call it to.
To, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I think most African countries have some form.
Yeah.
So for us, it's called pap or porridge.
Yeah.
What else is traditional food? The way we make our meat, for example,
is
in a very simple way.
Okay.
So we slaughter a cow or we slaughter a goat or a lamb, and it's prepared very simply, like with a bit of onion and a little bit of salt and pepper and stock.
Mm.
Not a lot of spices in my food, the tribe I'm from. But if, for example, you think of the Cape Malay, they make, you know, quite spicy food.
And
so
you Zulu.
And I'm a Zulu. Yeah. Yeah. And lots of vegetables, of course, in our diet as well.
Amazing.
Traditional foods. So, yeah.
I'd like to try that next time.
So my friends, for example, from Central Africa always say Southern African food is boring for them because there's not enough spices. Yeah. We tend to
really
have a particular taste Yeah.
Oh,
whereas I think as you move further up north, it gets spicier and spicier.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No.
Okay. Is Malian food spicy or?
It depends, you know, have a choice.
Okay.
The spice is there, you put or you don't put. But I can't anymore. I don't like a spicy.
You don't like spice?
Yeah, it's strange, you know, for a Malian African
strange
woman.
Strange for an African,
it's incredible,
exactly.
Yeah.
We like flavor in our food as well.
And okay. I don't like a spicy.
Well, I'm distracting you now. Let's keep going
with the
game.
Yeah. Next.
Let's choose the next one.
From it.
Oh. Listener. Keep or toss?
Keep.
Keep?
Yeah.
Okay. You're a good listener?
Yeah, I like
Can
to
I
listen
choose one
to
for
people.
Oh. Romantic.
Toast, I'm not sure.
Keep or toss?
Yeah, I'm toast.
Toss.
Yeah.
Are you not a romantic?
I think no.
Oh, don't you tell
I would
love
to. I would like to, you know.
Yes.
But I'm too, I think I'm, yeah.
Are you too tough?
Yeah, I don't have time.
Don't
That's
have
the
time.
Thing,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like wasting time for me, and it's not true. I know that I'm wrong with that. I should allow myself to receive and to give in a different way. It's like
true.
The only way for me to give is to be on stage and making people smiling, dancing, you know. It's like I've been putting all my energy there.
Yeah.
And to be 100% in this way. But the rest I lose, I've been losing. I lost a lot of other way to give and to receive
yeah.
Even with my children, I'm sorry, I'm not with them.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I'm a good mom, even if they tell me all the time that you're one of the best of
us. You're the best mom for your children, 100%.
I don't know if they're lying to me, but
yeah.
You know, I'm never there.
But you're a
busy
But they
one. Recognize that it's not the quantity. It's the quality.
100%. Well,
the
you're the best mom for your children. There's
I
no doubt about
so.
That.
So.
Can we do one more?
Yeah, even
keep a toss. I like where this is going.
Like.
Send
I
more.
Love that, yeah.
Influencer.
I think yes.
Keep.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
You know, in Mali, wearing the rasta was a scene like something bad for girls. They will always connect that to the drugs and reggae people. You know, it was seen like something very bad.
Mm.
And when I left my home, you know, I ran away. When I was turning to 19 years old, I was supposed to get married to my cousin. And I say, okay, no, this way. I decide my own life, you know. Then I went to Mali. When I went back to Mali after 6 years, and I came back, I went back with my hair. People were judging me at that time. It's like, I'm telling you things 10 years, you know.
Sure.
Yavala. But after that, you know, when I started to be on stage and, you know, well known now, I'm seeing more girls wearing the dread and they are proud to wear their native dread because I made a lot of sensibilization of that. Sensitive people, you know, to telling them you can wear your natural hair and being spiritual in a different way. It's not related only on the drugs, you know, or drug stuff or being free. And even if you're free as a woman, it's also okay.
Mm,
you know,
absolutely.
Absolutely. It was the message. And I can see that it's working. I'm seeing more
Things
girls
changing.
With the rasta and take care in the guitar playing, and they are assuming to be themselves.
Incredible.
I think in that way, I can say that I'm an influencer because it's about your country. It's
Absolutely.
About the generation that follows you and look at you and say, okay, she's my example. You know?
And positively influencing
positive
the
influence.
Next generation
yeah.
to also
yeah.
change stereotypes
yeah.
around identity and
nah,
encourage
yeah.
them to show up in the world
nah.
as they are. I mean, look, if I didn't have braids, I would have dreads. My sister has dreads as long as
really,
my braids.
Really,
but I
this
don't have
is
the
nice
patience.
Too.
Yeah, but it just takes a long time, right? So every year, every month, I have to go and have it done. But my sister's dreads look exactly this long. They look like
it's
your
a
hair.
Natural hair.
So if it were up to me, I would have hair like yours. It's much easier for me.
But you can always.
I know.
The thing is that it's yours. Even tomorrow, you know, that's
yeah.
good for that. You can always. But you know, it's our natural hair. It's not only related to the Jamaica or whatever.
Absolutely.
But little by little, you know.
We make
music
the change.
Is made for that too. That's cool.
Absolutely.
In the music, when you wake up people's mind and telling them that being yourself is also good, is great.
So we're going to talk a lot about little Fatu and who she was as a child, because I know you have lots of stories to share.
Next one, then.
Shall we take this one next?
Yes.
Oh, a planner.
Yes, a lot.
Yes.
Yeah,
keep.
Yeah.
Tell me more about Fatu the planner.
Yeah. A planner, because the work that I'm doing, if you don't plan things, it's impossible.
Yeah.
You must be very well organized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for someone who lives between or travels a lot, and you're currently on your 50-stop tour, right?
Husband.
Yeah.
Your family in Africa.
Yeah.
And have my association with albinos people.
Yeah.
You know, I'm fighting for the albinism people too, and also people that are a bit different, you know, born with differences. I don't have so much friends, you know. I don't have... I'm a very lonely person.
Yeah.
Spend my time working. But, you know, even if it's a few things,
yes,
you must
need to
plan.
Be structured. Yeah.
You must be, you know,
planner.
Awake. Yeah.
So I think there's a bit of a story unfolding here. Influencer, planner, connector, foodie, listener. I like where this is going.
Mm-mm.
I want us to go back to the very beginning. We're going to talk about...
We didn't start yet. Oh, my God.
We've jumped around a lot, but
really?
I think we have to be fair, because you have an incredible story to tell and an incredible journey to get where you are today.
Hmm.
But one of the things I love to start with is to ask people the meaning of their names. So what does your name mean? Fatumata.
My name, Fatumata. I don't know how I can really... You know, it's not an African name, unfortunately.
Okay.
It's an Arab. It's from Arabians, you know. It's the name of the daughter of Muhammad, the Prophet Muhammad.
The Prophet Muhammad, okay.
You know? But inside of me, I would love to be called my grandmom's name, Koya. Koya. Oh, yeah. Koya means it's happening something.
Wow.
Right now, you know, the moment.
Something is happening.
Yeah, something is happening.
Koya.
Koya.
Wow. I'm trying to think what... It would be my language. That's incredible.
Koya.
And why would you have renamed yourself or given yourself the name Koya?
Because, you know, it's like my native name.
Hmm.
I'm missing to be called from a name from Africa, from my native family.
Okay.
That's the only thing.
Okay.
Even if I like a Fatumata as well.
Yeah, Fatu. So most people call you Fatu.
Yes.
I think when we first met you, you remember the name Fatumata, but as someone starts talking
Fatima.
To you, it's easier.
Yeah.
Fatu just rolls off the tongue as well. But I don't think we've ever had a guest when I asked them what the meaning of their name is, who then gave me another name that they would have liked to have been called by. So I like the fact that you thought of the name Koya as a name that
Koya.
Describes you and where you're from.
Inside of, I didn't tell that to nobody, so it's my first time to share that.
Amazing.
Yeah, my secret name.
So you were born in the Ivory Coast to Malian parents?
Yeah.
One of 11 children?
Mm-hmm.
Must be difficult to stand out in a family of 11 children. So tell me about little Fatu. What was she like?
Wow. The little Fatu was very crazy. Very independent. I think that I was born with a kind of a fire inside of me that was very tricky, because my mom was a dancer. She was doing battles, you know, many competitions when she was a child, you know, when teenager, like 13, 14 years old. Then she was becoming a bit famous.
Okay.
Then my father met her and they got married and she stopped at everything. At the beginning, she continued to dance with my brother, my old brother and sister. Both of them passed away. Then when it arrived, the male third children, she stopped totally everything with me.
Wow.
And I feel like I'm continuing that story, because I do remember when I was a child in Ivory Coast, I was totally lost in this country, lost with the children. I was getting boring when I was a child. And I wasn't feeling myself as a child. It's like I was born with an old soul. You know, like, I do remember people were telling me all the time, it seems like you know everything.
Mm.
So they were not treating me like a child. They were so bad with me.
Mm.
All the people were super bad with me. It's, I don't know, we always had that. I had that struggle, you know, not being the same line with people when I was a child. And I've been learning how to be in the same. I think the problem was me.
Yeah.
Before knowing that it was me the problem, I suffered a lot.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because it takes me to where I am today. I would say I'm a survivor because I know many people are like me.
Mm.
They're born like me, you know, very spiritual, oversensitive.
Yeah, yeah.
And instead of fighting to transform that to something positive, like what I'm doing, this, I'm really, I thank Lord for, you know, putting me in the music area, you know, giving me the music to express myself better, to be, you know, to get this harmony with the rest of the world. But I think people who don't have, who doesn't have a this, something to, you know, to connect with.
Exactly, yeah.
After they suffer, they can really turn to the drugs and they can turn to alcohol and because they feel like not understood. How do you say that? Incompris.
They want to, understood,
yeah.
Exactly.
Understood, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
and you turn everything in a bad way, and you feel bad the entire of your life.
Yeah,
because nobody helps you to open the door that you've been putting your own soul inside. And in my case, I always try to breathe. Even last night, I healed myself.
Amazing.
You know, it's every day that I'm on stage, it's like a taking breathing to open this. I wanna get out of this. You know, cage.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Wow.
Yeah.
Sounds like it's a form of healing. So going back to your childhood, you were sent back to Mali from the Ivory Coast, from what I understand, and raised by an aunt. And around the age of, I think, 12, around there, you were then, you started getting involved in acting. So tell me about little Fatu who went on to act in movies.
That was interesting. The fact that in Ivory Coast, it was completely destroyed. It was complicated for my mom and for my father. They sent me to Bamako to calm down things. And because I was dancing, when I was in Ivory Coast, I was dancing with a lot of violence, you know, a lot of. I didn't even know about my mother's story. I knew it 1 year ago.
No way.
Yeah.
Last year?
Yeah.
Wow.
She told me about her female life that had been stopped because of the arranged marriage, that her freedom was stopping on the way. So now I'm still discovering who I am, you know. It's like a school every day. And I have an answer to many things that I feel. I think then the fact that it was complicated in Ivory Coast, my father said, okay, we have to send her to somebody that can really, you know,
bring structure.
Yeah, bring structure, you know, direct her to better. Then I went to my aunt's and she was an actress, actually.
She was an actress.
And I wasn't interested to being, you know, to the acting. I was more expressing myself by dancing a lot, not talking too much. I was a child that was talking. I was the three things, smiling, crying and dancing. That was my first communication, way of communication to the world. I always, even if you were asking me a question, I was either smiling or crying. So then when I went to Ivory Coast in Mali, my aunt was an actress and then the director invited me to be part of the movie. And I said, no, I don't like talking. They said, you shy. No, at all. I'm not a child, but talking is not my thing.
Yeah.
I like dancing. And he said, no, in this time, we need you to talk, to say something. It's just one or two phrases.
Yeah.
Then I said, yes. And from that day, I become an actress because many directors was there that day. People starting to propose me different projects, and I did a lot of movies after that.
So from what I understand, also you did two movies that took you to the Cannes Film Festival, I think at the age of 14 Cannes, and the age of 18. Yeah, yeah. And tell me about the roles you played in those movies, because I think you once mentioned that in both roles you played people you described that had a madness or mad people.
Yeah. Was a crazy.
What do you mean by that?
Years.
And how do you see yourself?
I think the director wrote my character. Even now, all the directors who write my character compared to my personality, you know, they will always adapt, you know, to my personality. Yeah, I was like somebody mad in that movie, and not talking so much, but more same thing, crying, smiling, laughing all the time.
Yeah.
A crazy girl.
Yeah.
At 14 years old, you know, it's so crazy as a character, but it was easy for me.
Yes.
Because that was my...
That's incredible. For a 14-year-old to have that maturity to handle a role like that, that must have been quite an experience.
That's why many afterwards, you know, it was so natural for me. Then people say, what is such a great actress? Then movie came from afterwards. But it, you know, it was part of my life. It was, you know, I wasn't playing.
Yeah.
It wasn't acting for me. It was normal, totally.
It was like an expression of yourself. So I read somewhere that you said, you have a madness inside you that's under control.
Yeah.
What is your relationship with madness? Do you think that you're probably from a different world and maybe not of this world?
Yes, I do know that I have a moment in my life that I don't have a control of things. Said that I was born with that. Even when I was in Ivory Coast, when I was dancing in the street, I remember of half of what I've been doing. But when you ask me the second part of things, I wouldn't be able to tell you what really happened. You
know? I see.
Even yesterday during the show, I disconnect and I come back, I go and come back. But my band know that, they don't care.
Yeah.
So that's why yesterday we've been adapting the shows from what's happening yesterday. I supposed to start something, but I forgot because I was totally disconnected.
Wow.
And now it's going to be them that's going to start that part. So we adapt every day. And I call that craziness.
Okay.
Because there is no psychological, you know. I don't know if somebody can heal that. It's part of me that I lose control. And instead of judging myself that I'm crazy, but not in a bad way, because in Europe, even in Africa, people can judge you. They can. That's why I don't like talking about that things. But people who are close to me knows that I lose control. I go in a kind of a trance, you know, where I don't remember things. You know, I woke up and it's like, okay, what's happening? What was there? And I play with it. It's like I accept that thing, you know, it's part of me, and I see it as a gift,
you
know, because I can connect and disconnect. And when I say that I control it, because when you don't know me, you can have a fear that I'm not going to come back. It happens to many people, but I'm lucky my father show me with traditional things. He prepared me with a lot of medicine, traditional medicine. So I can, you know, control a bit.
Yes, yeah. So that's your relationship.
It doesn't affect my job, you know, actually.
Okay, and that's your relationship with the spirit world.
Et voilà.
Wow, so when you're on stage, you get in touch with that, so something comes over you.
Yeah.
And I suppose that's the magic of your performances, right? Your ability to go somewhere else and take the audience on a journey with you.
Yeah. I like to share that. I like to be myself.
Sure.
Yeah, then we leave the both things together. You got a fatu, and sometimes it's not fatu, and sometimes her. You got a two fatu, so it's amazing.
Amazing.
So you have to accept it, you know.
And
don't
work
see
with
it like something bad is good.
And embrace it.
Yeah, embrace it.
I mean, look, I think every performer can, on some level, relate to that, right? Yeah. That there's something much bigger than them, something that comes over them when they're performing or something that needs to come out of them through their performances.
But in Europe, sometimes they can judge you. I do remember when I was working with this company of theater, they were all asking me to go to see a doctor.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was, it was when I was a bit teenager, 19 years old, you know, when I left my family. And that made me suffer a lot before getting the answer of that. Because since my childhood, I had that problem. So when I came to Europe, same thing that people were talking about, my differences, it was very hard to me. That's why I have a song with my father. He's the only one, you know, that told me, don't change.
Yeah.
Don't go to the doctor because you're going to waste the time going there, you know. And he started to tell me who I am a little bit because he said, I dreamt of you. This is you. And he started to tell me who I am in another side that any doctors can tell you this. But I'm lucky that he was there. At that time.
Wow.
Because even my husband and many friends told me, go to see a doctor because this is a sickness, you know, it's not normal.
Did it affect you physically at some point?
No, mentally.
I see.
Because you start to, you know, your difference is always in front. People will always tell you that you're different. And the problem is not me today. Now I'm thinking of all people that are different.
Yes, yeah.
That couldn't make it, you know. Yeah. Sometimes I cry a lot, you know. I suffer for them.
Yes.
Because I'm lucky I could be where I am today with that differences without any help. By myself.
Yeah.
But my father was there. I mean, when I say any help, it means not going to 1,000 people to help me.
I see.
I had my father and me, and we fight a struggle together to be where I am today. But I'm wondering people that tried to go to 1,000 people to get the answer to their personality. I cry for them because they're wasting time and they will never be what they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
In their life and, you know, their mission that they're supposed to achieve in this crazy world. So.
And do you think some of them are fighting a spiritual battle with themselves?
A lot. Many people. Yeah. Not only the artists.
Fascinating.
You know, all the artists that you see on stage, they got that thing. Demon is my friend. I know we get connected,
yes,
you know.
Yes.
That's why when I've been starting to be a singer in Europe, the connection came very fast because people feel.
Okay.
People that have that thing.
Yeah.
They come to you and naturally you connect and you don't need to speak. You know that it's this. Okay.
Yes.
Let's do it. Voila.
They have it.
You got the thing. Okay. I got it. So let's go.
Yeah.
And it should not be a taboo. Mm. I would say I'm the only artist Mali that will really talk about this.
Okay.
Because it's still
difficult.
Not well known. Mm. You don't know how to really express that.
Yeah.
Because it's really crazy.
Yeah.
It's a madness. But
we're going to talk more about
it. It's possible to fight and make it beautiful.
And make it
beautiful. Make beautiful things with it.
Yeah. We're going to talk about more about spirituality, healing, and music in particular. So at the age of 19, you fled to Paris to run away from an arranged marriage with your cousin. And that's where you found your calling in music. Tell me more about how music called your name.
You know, music to me is like the voice of God. You know, it's a kind of thing that you don't need to understand what people are saying. Or even being from the same country, it's a universal language.
Absolutely.
When people say universal language, it's properly the name of the music, you know. That's why I don't care to sing in English or in French. You know, people will always ask me, why you don't sing in French or in English? I said, I don't need to sing. I don't want people to understand me, what I'm saying. That comes after, second. But the first thing, I want people to feel me, to know, to connect with me. That's why I'm gonna sing all the time in Bambara, because it's the best way for me to express my truth, to be real. It's a real connection, and it's a fast, you know, and music has that ability. And it helps me to have this name, you know what I mean? It's like not make music just to get money, make music to connect, to heal, to share a normal human life. You know, it doesn't matter the color of the person that you're singing for. It's just connecting, like like in Avatar, when you put your hair to the, and it goes.
Yeah.
And you just make love in a different way.
Yes.
Because making love is not only sexual. It's also in that way.
Yeah.
To really make love strongly. Mm. And it's a matter. It's very important. So I think I pass it through the music just to, you know, to make that name and also sharing.
And speak a universal language in a different way.
Yeah.
So I saw one of the comments on one of your videos on YouTube. Someone wrote, "I don't understand her language, but I understand her music."
That's what I want.
And that's what you want.
That's what I want.
And what was your first big break in the music world when you first started out? When did that happen?
Oh, it was, you know, progressive. It was a progressive. You know, I think when I've been signed with my label at the World Circuit from England, and it was a small label, but in the same time, very strong, because they had Alpha Kature, Tumwani Jabate, Umu Sangare. I was the younger artist to be signed there.
Okay.
And that happens very strangely, because Herbie Hancock supposed to do a song, Imagine song, with Umu Sangare.
Okay.
And Umu invited me because I was doing backing vocal for her. And she wanted me to be at that recording. And because I'm lucky, I have that ability to mix the Western music and the traditional music. It's like natural for me. I don't need to think. It's like poo-poo-poo-poo-poo-poo. You know, it's very flexible.
Yeah.
And Umu is from the other school, you know, she's strong, but with the traditional music.
The traditional, okay.
And she invites me to make that transition, how to translate the song, Imagine, with the Bambara music, you know, because the chords are different, it's very modern.
And how do
it was easy.
How do you merge Imagine with Bambara music?
I don't know, it was very... I do remember when I went to the studio, Herbie just put the chords, you know, it was kind of a C or a G. Then I just tried to say, okay, let's go in this way. And we did it in 5 minutes. And her producer was there. Then when the session ended, he told me, do you have any demo or whatever? And then because they spent like... 5 or 6 hours with Umu, and it was quite a bit difficult. But when I came in 5 minutes, the recording was done.
Wow.
In 20 minutes. Because I don't know, something happened. And Herbie was very happy about that experience. And the director, then from that day, things started. But I went there not for money. I didn't ask for nothing.
Yeah.
I didn't ask how many I will be paid. No, it was a pleasure for me to be there, you know. I was like 24 years old. And I said, oh, that's an opportunity to be
incredible, playing
with Herbie Hancock and Umu Sangare.
I mean.
Nick Gold. Because I was an actress before in Paris, making a lot of theaters, movies and things. And it was my beginning into the music.
Incredible.
And then starting like this, I said, wow, let's go. I went there and
the rest
signed
is history.
Me the next week. And I made my first record of Fatu, you know, with the demo. He didn't even like me to record my album.
Yeah.
I gave him my demo, and it was 9 songs, and he said, we go like this.
No, that's recording. Incredible.
I said, but my voice is tired. I should sing very well. We should go back to the studio. He said, no. We keep it like this, simple way. So it's that record really represents my fragility and simplicity. And it worked a lot because I've been invited to the Grammy, singing yes. there for the first time as a Malian. Nobody wow. sings there.
Wow.
It was, I was after Angélique Kidjo and Miriam
Makeba. How old were you?
I was 25. You
incredible.
Know? And things went so fast. Then Damon came. We did things with Red Hot Chili Pepper, Erykah Badu. So it's crazy. You know, things went very fast. That's why it conferred me that being yourself is the, that's the message that I like to split to all the generation. Don't yeah. try to have the best technical vocal. You don't need the vibrato or the, just sing. I think people just need your soul.
Just
they
sing.
Need the truth. They didn't just need to be with you.
Wow.
Simple love.
Incredible.
No judgment.
Incredible.
Because my album wasn't, I did nothing.
You just showed up as yourself,
yeah, it
and
was
the rest
simple.
Is history.
Yeah, things went down.
Wow,
Fatu.
So, I mean, it's quite common for to see a Malian female singer, but one who plays an instrument as well as singing. Tell me about your relationship with the guitar.
I love
what
the guitar.
What gave you the courage to play?
I love the guitar. I love it so much. I love it so much. It's like a part of my struggle, part of my fight. It's like my best team, my best brother, sister, and freedom. It's my gang, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
When I say gang in this way, it's because in Paris, when I started to sing, to write my own songs, I was writing the songs with different guitar players, and they were always telling me to be like a Sade or doing reggae because of my hair.
Okay.
People were always telling me to be somebody else, and I was like, what are you talking about?
I don't know how. Yeah.
Let me express myself. I have my own visions. Mm. I have some crazy things in my mind and I want to tell you. They don't listen to you because in the music, not in the music in general, so it's like in many places, female must to be, people feel like they have to protect us all the time. So maybe I look like very fragile, I'm
yeah.
sure, because when I'm on stage and in a normal life, it's totally different.
Mm.
People were feeling that, like they're supposed to protect me in somehow. And I've been trying several times to do my own things, and they were always telling me, no, 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 do this, do that, do that, do that, do that, jazz, reggae, to put me in some place.
Mm.
And my music doesn't have a place. My music is international. It is a universal language. And in that aim, I suppose not to put my music in a one case. It should not be jazz, should not be rock. It's not pop, it's not reggae. It's a music.
It's music,
it's
yeah.
just a music. It's a Fatoumata's visions, how she feels music, how she wanna freedom her own music, how she wanna, you know, feel 200% herself, then putting everything that she likes, everything she loves. It can be jazz, pop, but it should be the music.
It should be just music.
And I've been trying with one guy that didn't like that freedom.
Okay.
So on stage, he was feeling like I'm crazy, judging me.
Mm.
Then to hurt me, he canceled the show 2 dates before.
Is this the Paris show?
The Paris
okay.
show. And that was very important to me, you
wow.
know, because I was starting to have my fans, my audience, you know, and... And the guy was always canceling the show, you know. I was like, why?
Mm.
He's just, he wanted to control me, you know.
Okay.
It's just like, if you don't do what I tell you, you won't go on stage. I said, okay, you don't know who I am, so thank you then. I went to the to the guitar shop 2 dates before the show.
Wow. Because you didn't want him to cancel.
I didn't want to cancel. Mm. Everybody told me to cancel the show. I said, I won't cancel the show. Even if I have to go an a cappella, I will do this show. To answer to his question, you know, telling him that he cannot stop me. He doesn't know who I am, where I come from.
Wow.
I share music because music must to be shared. It's not something that singing voice in the guitar is important. But for me, having a band, having an audience means something because music is to put people each together,
exactly.
right?
Yeah.
So in that aim, I said, okay, no hunger, keep your calm. So you're going to keep doing music, but if it's not this one, it's going to be somebody else. So in the venue world, they were all stressing. No, we can't.
I can imagine 2 days before.
No, I told them, you don't stop. This time, I will do it. I don't care. Then I went to the market. I bought my first guitar, €200. And I went to work all the day long, night till the day. And you have the video on the social media. Yeah. It's a satellite cafe. I have my hands like, you know, ting, ting, on stage in front of people. And I was playing. I did all my show by learning the guitar on stage.
Really?
I've been learning on stage.
Wow.
Till today, I never take lessons of a guitar.
Wow.
I did everything with wrong notes. People were laughing. And in the same time, I think people were loving that also.
Absolutely. To see that raw style of playing as well.
It's like it's a music and the love is beyond that. Everything.
And who inspired you to play the guitar in particular? Because you were one of the first female guitarists, if not the first, from Mali, right?
It's, I've got to, you know, I would say the fact that I really, the person that really encouraged me to touch to an instrument for the first time. Guitar, I choose the guitar because it's easy to travel with.
Okay.
But
instead of drums.
Nina Simone.
Oh,
when
wow.
I saw Nina with that heavy voice playing the instrument with a lot of strength, she changed my life totally.
Wow.
I said, okay, you can be such a great voice and having control of an instrument as a female artist.
Mm.
She's my role model.
Incredible.
And watching her every day, and she was somebody very, very real to me.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Incredible
you
life.
You look at her, there is nothing. It's like, it's her.
Yeah.
It's not somebody else.
Yeah.
She's my example because she never doubt of being herself.
Wow.
And then, you know, same feeling. And I said, okay, it's possible. If she's famous being herself, so you just... And we have the same birthday. She's 21 of February.
21
I'm
February.
The same 21
oh, wow.
February. And I knew that 5 years ago. I didn't know it before.
Okay.
And yes, and I keep playing the instrument.
Your connection. Between the two
of you. Yeah, I love her so much.
Wow, we all love Nina Simone, and it's amazing that you share a birthday with her as well. Mm. But speaking of Nina Simone, I mean, she's played in some incredible places. She obviously lived in Africa as well at some point in her life, which is...
Like a Miriam Makeba.
Like Miriam
Those
Makeba.
Women,
absolutely.
Living in the harder times. You know, it was terrible at that time.
Yeah.
We complained, but they were stronger than
absolutely.
Her.
I mean, so you talk about learning the guitar without ever going for lessons. Miriam Makeba learned to speak French, I think, without ever going for lessons, right?
Yeah. Many things. Those women are just the best example that we can get.
Yeah.
Not only for... The African women is also for all of the world.
Mm.
Just a female on stage. Women on
it's
stage.
Powerful.
I saw her like a woman, the women on stage.
Did you ever see Mary McGibber?
Never.
Okay.
No.
Wow.
Both of them, no.
Wow.
Never, yeah.
But in spirit.
A lot.
In spirit.
A lot, yeah.
Incredible. Mm. And what have been some of your favorite venues to play at?
It's hard to say which place you like the most.
Yeah.
Because any time that you can receive love, every place is the best.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Because even if you have, problems with the technical things, it doesn't mean nothing.
Mm.
I think I love all the place where I go because the most important things for me is the audience.
Yeah.
People that I'm... going through, you know, to cross, to share my energy.
Mm.
And I'm lucky because every place is like a gift. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't have a favorite place. I love everywhere, even outside.
You're a child of the world, Fatu.
Yeah.
Tell me about Fatu the activist. I mean, you use your music to also highlight social issues.
Mm.
So that your music can have an impact. So I know one of your big causes, besides, you know, albinism and, you know, people who are socially excluded from society is also the issue of female genital mutilation, particularly in Mali and in other African countries. Tell me how you've used music to talk about some of those issues.
You know, when I decided to make the music to be a singer, I was thinking, wondering myself, if you sing, what you can really bring, you know, bring more to the music in this way. It's not only the beauty, I'm not even beautiful, but...
You're beautiful.
It's not the dance, it's enough, dancing. It's not just singing well, because there are millions of women that sing with the best technical voice in the world. What you gonna add more? What you can do with this voice that people will connect with? Is just to sing, or you can really make the change with your voice?
Yeah.
You know, I've been thinking about that first before starting writing a song.
Okay.
Then I decided to write my first song about the female genital mutilation.
Okay.
And that I'm also victim, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know my body, the full body.
Yeah.
That's why when I tell you that I'm not romantic, it's also one of that, you know. It's okay. So violent.
Okay.
And when I realized that that tradition didn't come from our ancestors, that it came from different places.
Okay.
It came by, you know, by Arabian, you know,
culture
you know,
into Africa.
The culture into Africa.
Okay.
It's, you know, you suffer more. You knew that when you realize that your ancestors were more, you grew up in your mind that it's a traditional, something that you have to do because your ancestors did it,
ancestors,
you know.
Yeah.
Then you realize later that it's not the truth. That hurts, you know, as a full man. And then I started to recover my soul. I did a reparation, you know, I did the chirurgical things to rebuild up my body, you know, and then I said, okay, why you don't share your experience mm-hmm. to the rest of the world through your voice? And maybe if for your generation is too late, you can maybe save the future generation.
Absolutely.
So most of the time when I write a song, I'm going to think of the future generation.
Mm.
I don't sing for us because I will say, yeah, we're lucky. We've been doing something, but tomorrow can be better.
Mm.
But if we don't talk about those things because it's a taboo, I'm the only female artist talking about this in Mali.
Wow.
Now we got an Ina Moja, other girls are starting to open their mind a month, and I always support them. I said, let's go. When, you know, the more we are, the more we're going to be heard, you know, people
yeah.
we hear. So let's go, girls. Let's talk about it because it's about women.
Mm.
It's about us, our body.
Mm.
And those kind of things are mentally strong. They kill you.
Sure.
Because your body is like a pepper. You don't feel nothing.
Mm.
You don't know what means a pleasure. It's like they broke your heart.
Yeah,
you know? It's like
yeah.
you feel nothing.
Yeah, you disconnect from your body, which is a horrible feeling to have. Yeah.
And by the name of God. So I said, let's wake up. Wake up now. So those kind of subjects matter for me only. Oh, really, because we have to do it. And also kind of things that I've been passing through, that is the arranged marriage, that all of my sisters passed through, you know, through that kind of experience.
Mm.
And I'm the only rebel that survived of this.
Mm.
All my cousins, they've been married.
Okay.
By the arranged marriage, because
okay.
my tribe is very strong.
Okay.
We don't like to be mixy. We like to be married between us. Because we're neighbor.
Oh,
you know,
see.
Traditional things.
Yes, exactly.
That was good in the past.
Okay, so you can't marry another tribe.
Voila, you
okay.
can, you know.
Okay.
Still very, tribe get married each other.
Each
you
other,
know?
Okay.
And it was good. It's cool.
Yeah.
But the generation are changing.
Yeah.
is changing. We're changing. We must adapt those traditions to from generation to generation.
Yeah.
So then in my songs, I will talk about those kind of things, you know, how I can bring the change. And the good thing is that the fact that my music is like, there is no, it's like atypic. In Mali, you cannot really put me in a place.
Mm.
So everybody listen to me.
Mm.
You know, when I go to the airport, you will see the generation from my mom that said, I listen to your music. I like what you say. You're right.
Yeah.
And you will say, baby, a little baby that we say, so why? You know,
yeah.
It caused all the generation.
All over. Wow.
Then I use that power.
Incredible.
To share the message.
Wow.
How the generation before can allow us to be free. Mm. Then we can give a different, you know, education to
our,
you know,
generation.
We are like the balance. We're in the middle.
We're
I feel like in the middle.
Yeah.
Between the generation, you know, older and the younger, you know, that loves me just because they love me.
And that's a very big responsibility to carry, because I often feel in Africa, in African culture, we focus a lot on the past, on our ancestors, on our history. And a friend of mine once said to me, I don't only listen to the voice of my ancestors, but I listen to the voice of my descendants and what they will require of me. And that's how I make the decisions that I make on a daily basis. It's a big responsibility, particularly as an artist, to carry a responsibility where you're addressing such deep personal social issues. I mean, you just shared that in your family, you're one of the very few that didn't end up in an arranged marriage.
Yeah, I do remember that when I did this documentary about the female genital mutilation, it's like 10 years ago, I went to this village and I put like 20 women, you know, together. And we've been starting to talk about this. And all the men around were very mad at me, inside of me, you know.
Wow.
When the meeting ended, a young guy, 20 years old, came to me. He said, I loved you before.
Oh, wow.
But last night, what you've been doing, I've never seen somebody doing this in Mali yet. I've been listening to your discussion about the female genital mutilation, and you went deep. You were talking about your own things of the blood side. She said, this kind of thing is taboo. You should not talk about it. But in the same time, I hate you. I've been struggling. I couldn't sleep because of your speeches. But today I'm different, because I can think in a different way.
Yeah.
He said, I hate you, but I love you in the same time. But you cannot live here, because the way you are approaching things is too strong for us. He said, keep writing songs, but it will take time. But I know what you want to, you know, where you're going. But he's suffering. It's like I've been touching to something that was sleeping
inside
of him. And suddenly he said, my daughter, maybe I'm going to think before, you know, taking her to these things, you know. He's been starting to ask himself about this. And I'm sure he's not going to
make
her to
make a different choice.
Yeah, for sure.
Wow.
For sure.
So I saw a quote where you said, when you stop crying, you decide two things, to kill yourself or to survive. And when you decide to survive, you must find things to help you survive. And lucky for us, you chose to channel that through music.
I'm lucky that I can sing. I'm lucky that I can connect with people through my voice. I'm lucky that I can change a few people in this world, people mind, through the music. I'm lucky that I can love people.
Yeah.
Because to love others, you have to be in peace with yourself.
Mm.
And that peace, if you see what I've been passing through, but in the same time, I want to love people. I just thank Lord for that. I'm really grateful, yeah.
And your activism is not just on social issues, but also on political issues, because you put a bunch of artists together to collaborate on Maliko, which was a collaborative anthem after the 2012 coup in Mali, where you brought together artists from different genres, traditional music, some hip hop, some, you know, various artists from all over Mali to sing this anthem. Tell me about the process of putting this anthem together.
That was necessary.
Necessary.
That song was more than necessary at that time. We were about to kill each other, kind of genocide. Then I stopped my tour. Yeah, my country was needing me. Yeah, the generation was needing my person. And I said, okay, it's good to travel, to be famous around the world, but you have only one country. And
yeah,
you have only one place. It's my country. I sacrificed everything and then went to Mali one night.
Wow.
I stopped at everything and I said, okay, go back home. Because if I was waiting 1 week later, it wouldn't be possible to stop that fight. Because it's easy to fight together. Yeah. It's easy. You can decide to, you know, to kill each other.
That's true.
But how to stop a war is the most difficult thing to do.
Mm.
And I said, okay, it's now. And the good thing is that I was the only person that could do that. Because sometimes, you know, between artists, they have like a competition between them.
And yeah, artists have their things as well.
Yeah. And I'm lucky that nobody had this thing with me because I'm so very... I'm different.
Yeah, the connector.
I don't dress like them, so they don't feel like a competition with me. I don't blush my skin.
Yes.
I don't put all those things that lady loves and they make a competition with, you know, I'm like... So then when I went to every artist's home and asking them for this project, they all said yes.
Wow.
Included Umu Sangare, Tumani Jabate. All of them.
Wow.
All of them. And we made that song. Till today, it's saving our community.
Wow.
It's saving people.
Wow.
Every time the temperature goes up, they put that song on the radio.
It's a national anthem.
It's become now, it's a national anthem.
Wow. And the backstory is that following the coup, they were planning on banning music, right?
It was about to
music
ban
festivals,
the music.
Yeah. And the song was a response to that.
How you can... think of banning music in a place where people don't have. It's the only thing
it's the
that
only
they,
thing
have,
they have.
The only thing that we have.
Yeah.
How you can imagine that there are some people in the world telling us that God doesn't like music, doesn't love music. Some people were believing this.
Mm.
They were trying to make us believing that we should stop playing our traditional instruments. Like the kora, the ngoni, balafon, all those instruments that connect us to our ancestors, to the past, to the spirit, to connect each other, to communicate, you know. How you could, it was unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
And I said, unbelievable. I said, no. This
it's almost
happen.
Evil, actually.
It's terrible.
Mm.
Then today, from that day, we are all rebel. Everybody fight for that culture. We realize that it was the only thing that we got.
And we still and have we, it. We still have the anthem.
It's even well stronger
done.
Today.
Well
today
done.
We realized that we could lose it.
Well done,
it was too easy at the beginning. Now we say, okay, we could miss, you know, lose all those instruments.
Mm.
So now we should take care of them.
Yeah. And then take the them seriously. And
even
use them.
Last year I made a big project with a French guy based on the kora.
Mm.
You know, this instrument, very ancestral.
Okay.
Yeah, we've been doing 50 gigs, you know, with it.
Wow.
Based on, you know, all the energy was around the kora.
Mm.
Because it's like a kind of a sitar from India.
Okay.
Those instruments that you cannot really reply to anything in the world.
Wow. You can't replace them, hey?
So that's life, madness of a human being. We are crazy.
Fatu, talk to me about your incredible collaborations. I mean, there's a very long list, but just to go through some of them, I mean, you've worked with Damon Albarn from The Gorillaz. your involvement with the Africa Express, which included artists such as Paul McCartney, Herbie Hancock, and most recently your work with Mathieu Chedid. I know you collaborated with Angie Stone, Lauryn Hill as well very recently. What is it like collaborating with some of the artists? And tell me some of the stories that led to these collaborations.
You know, it's to me, it's like necessary sharing your music with other people. You always learn from them and you learn, they learn from you too as well. It doesn't matter if you're famous, not famous. You know, when you got that feeling with people, because you cannot stand with some people as well, you know.
Yeah.
The collaboration is quite something strange. It happens when you feel really in confidence with somebody. When you love that, you can like the music of someone, but not liking it personally.
Hmm.
You know, it happens too there. But when the connection is beyond the music, it's like we're together and I feel like good with this person, then the music is naturally, you know, strong, becomes very strong.
Hmm.
And that's what happened with Damon Albarn. We are very good friends. And Hor is such big artist.
Yeah.
I do remember when I went on tour with Gorillaz 3 years ago, and many artists was coming to try to work, you know, to collaborate with him. And he didn't want it. But I mean, big, 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 big one. I won't tell you the names.
Yeah.
And I was like, I went to my dressing room. I said, wow, I'm so lucky to be here because...
Wow.
It's so, so easy. We love each other.
Wow.
I like to be with him, you know. And I know it's the same for him. It's it's beyond that, the music. It's like feeling good each other.
Mm. I know you refer to Damon as your brother and Mathieu as your soulmate, which I find so interesting how you've also created what sounds to me like a chosen family for someone who comes from such a, you know, complex family history. It's interesting to see how you've cultivated a different kind of family through music.
Yeah.
Talk to me about chosen family, or the family you've chosen for yourself.
Chosen family, you know, families means got a different meanings, because you got your family with same blood and same, you know, your roots and
yeah.
And you can also choose your family. And sometimes you get wrong. You take your people, you feel like somebody can be your family. And you realize after, you know, a couple of years that you get wrong with
yeah.
that person. It often happens a lot. But some people stay because they stay because they are real.
Mm.
They got the same truth as you.
Mm.
And only the time can confirm you that. You select your family
yeah.
out of your family, real family, you know. But the one that you collect in the during your, you know, career and your way,
yeah,
it can change as well.
Okay.
But I'm lucky Damon is one of that. I know that and Mathieu that I will keep forever.
How special.
Yeah, they're very special.
How special.
It's like when, you know, it's difficult to really explain to what we feel each other. It's like an impossible love, you know? See, I like when you start... She knows what I'm talking about.
I like how that sounds.
You know, you love her with somebody, but you know that you can't get it, that it becomes a pressure. We got that thing. We love each other.
Wow.
Truly.
That's
you
very
know?
Powerful.
But in the same time, we know that it's not guaranteed.
Aha.
It's like a fragile.
Yeah,
it's like a
yeah,
precious.
Yeah.
It's
wow.
like... a bird that can fly all the time.
Yes.
So that you have to carry.
Yes.
So we
and
carry our love. You
wow.
know, it's a kind of love that is different of, you know, physical love. And this one is very precious. Wow. It's really subtle and so, so beautiful.
Wow. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow. And how long have you had this friendship with him?
Oh, with Damon, since my first album, 2011.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
So he really is like a brother to you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Incredible.
I love him so much.
Oh. And I love what you said about collaborations, that sometimes you like the artist's music, but you don't often connect with the person.
Mm-mm.
So when deciding to collaborate with someone, what comes first for you? Is it the music or trying to make sure that you have a connection with the person?
Yeah, it's more the connection.
Okay, wow.
I've got some, it's like now, I decided to collaborate with many young artists from Mali and also all over the world.
Okay.
Just to be in touch with also the generation after me.
Hmm.
It has been, you know, since the beginning of my career, people in front of me, like Umu, Didi Bridgewater, Damon, you know, they are all older than me.
Hmm.
I've been learning a lot. And I still need to learn from them, you know.
Mm.
But now I'm trying to turn back.
Mm.
So I've been doing a lot of collaboration with young artists from Mali that they were all dreaming to do things with me.
Okay.
And those kind of things, you don't need the connection.
Mm.
You have to do it because it's your duty.
Yeah.
You got a love, but it's a different love.
Yeah.
You don't need to be friend with them. You don't need to judge their characters, what they, you know, you just have to do it because they need you.
Yeah.
They want you. You had opportunity when you started.
Yeah.
And if they are dreaming to be with you, you must give back what you've been receiving. Mm. I see that as something that I have to do.
That's important.
But in the good way, it's positive. It's like to transmit, it's like to encourage them to say, okay, let's open the door to other, you know, to the future generation and collaborating with them. It's also important.
Mm.
You cannot be working with only famous people.
Yeah.
You can also be humble and go through young generation and being in touch with them. Some cries, you know. I did two months ago. The girl was crying because she was saying, I wouldn't believe that you could take your flight and come for me.
Wow.
She said, I'm nobody.
Wow.
But I said, you are somebody. You are the future. You know, it's important for me.
But it sounds like this comes very naturally to you.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? To operate at any level and to collaborate at this level. But for a young artist in Africa or anywhere in the world listening to you, what skills do you think it takes to be able to collaborate at this level? Because you move through these worlds in such a fluid way. And I think it comes quite naturally to you. But what are the skills do you think a young artist should have to be able to collaborate, you know, with the great artists out there?
There is no rules to that.
Hmm.
Yeah. It seems like because there are many big artists, you must pay to collaborate with them, yeah.
Okay.
Most of the famous artists that you see, if young artists must want to be, you know, collaborate with them, they have some, you know, they will ask you for money.
Okay. Okay.
That I knew that now because since I'm collaborating with young people, they all tell me this.
Okay.
They said that we've been asking to tell this person, this artist, and they ask me some money that I don't have.
Okay.
You are the only one, you don't ask for money, and they can't believe it.
Mm.
I told them, I don't need your money. It's not like I have enough money, but how I can make him pay somebody to be with me? Music doesn't belong to me. I'm just the connection.
Yeah.
I just have to, through this music, I have to share it. It's not, it can go tomorrow.
Absolutely.
It's not mine. I've got it to share it. It's not charity, but almost. I'm sorry.
You need to pass it on to the next generation.
You have to share it.
Mm.
If a Damon asked me money to play with him and go on tour with Gorillaz, I wouldn't be here today. You know what I mean?
Mm.
So I'm giving back the good people that is in the music, the industry music, that don't ask you money to be with them. Even if you're Fatoumata, you can be with Gorillaz. So for me, it's a natural way to do the same with the new generation. But they are all surprised that I don't ask for money. So I think it's difficult. It's the business, you got the good part and the bad thing, bad part as well.
But I mean, would there be any tips that you would give them in terms of how to operate at a much higher level? You know, what tips would you give a young artist who's starting out?
Being yourself, you must be special. And by the way, bringing something new.
Okay.
You know, if you are different, people will always try to share with you their differences, that, you know, it will be attractive, you know.
Mm.
But if you do the same thing as them, they don't see the necessity to bring something that is already there. You know, when I sing with Damon, he knows that I'm bringing the Malian flavors.
Mm.
I will be dressing like a Malian.
Mm.
I will be singing in Bambara.
Yeah.
So combining English and the Bambara for sure is new for the listeners, you know?
Yeah,
it's
bringing
also part
Fatoumata.
Of the process,
yeah.
The diversity.
Mm.
Music is about that diversity too.
Sure.
Even now, the last record of Gorillaz is with Indian people.
Mm.
You know, all big artists, very intelligent, will always go through other type of music to make, to bring more experiences to the listeners, and also bringing that, splitting that message of the diversity, which is one of the meaning of the music.
Yeah. Yeah.
You always have to share this music because it doesn't belong to you.
Mm.
It's not for us.
Mm.
No.
And
I
helps
don't believe
you grow
that
as well.
It's your thing. Yeah, it's not. It works if the divine accepts that to be worked. But you have to be in service of, I don't know
of
how
others,
to tell you, of others.
As well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then naturally, things will happen to you.
Mm.
But you must be thinking that way.
Mm.
I belong to everybody.
And, so this is an interesting concept, Fatou, that you talk about, again, very easily. But I have to take a step back and bring some of our listeners in. You know, the concept of the divine, of spirituality, is very innate. It's inside of us as Africans.
It's
you can't speak to us and separate it, which was why I often find that we never explain it or unpack it, because... You know, I saw a video the one time that said, you know, African people, when they talk to each other, they can say a lot without saying anything at all.
In Mali, I swear.
Sit in each other's presence and feel a connection, and it's spiritual, right? But many of our listeners who live in the Western world, what you describe might be something that's not familiar to them.
Hmm.
So talk to me about your spiritual path, or, I mean, we've touched on it in the beginning, but what does it mean to you to have this part of yourself and how it shows up in your music, the spiritual part of Fatou?
Yeah.
Is that what makes you different, do you think?
I think so. Mm. It's part of the thing, because, you know, music is a spiritual. It's basically spiritual. To sing, you have to be connected, you know. You have to be connected. I do remember when I had this connection with a demon, we were writing the song Nsera together. And once he told me, I don't know who I am, you know. He has the same thing. He told me, I don't know if I exist. This song, you know, when he was writing his own part, he started by this. And I look at him, I don't know if I exist. That's, you know, and that's so powerful, because it means a lot. When you said you don't exist, because when it arrives a moment when you're on stage and you don't feel getting control of things, and you wonder yourself, who is controlling them, you know? It's God, for sure. because to split the love, God must be there. He is the king of love.
Hmm.
If people feel good after that, for sure, the king is there. But how he can connect to you, how he can send you all the angels, good angels, to help you to split that love, that's powerful. And you wonder yourself, ask yourself, why me? And should I do that all my life? And you don't have a really a discussion about it. God doesn't, it's like in French they say, élu. You've been chosen to do that, you know. And those child are concerned to the it doesn't matter if you're African or you're from Africa or whatever. I think it concerns many artists from all over the world, you know, because with demon, we speak a lot about the spirituality, and he's very free to talk about that and flee the same thing from Red Hot Chili Pepper. We are free to talk about the spirituality. And it's a lot of things going there, and it's interesting, really.
Fascinating.
It's really part of the music, because to write a song, you need help. You need a help, and it seems like you enter to a house, a big house, like a father's house, and you decide to, when you enter, you decide to be the good or the bad. So when children that enter to the music energies, you go there, and some will decide to make a lot of money, and some will decide to share love. So it depends your soul, you know. And children that have been deciding to split love, like Damon and Mathieu that met each other and share music without asking money to young people, you will definitely connect. Herbie is part of that, because I've been meeting him I did nothing to meet Herbie Hancock, you know. So that's why every connection that I have, it's a family that God has been deciding. It's that dimension that I see things, you know. Even you today, I'm sure there is nothing for such a chance. If you have to meet your sister, you will meet her. If you have to meet your brother, you will meet him, you know. So it's like, y a pas de hasard. And good people will meet each other and making music, sharing music together, and because the love must exist. We need it.
Absolutely.
And music is one of the best way to share that love.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Wow.
When you see jazz player playing the piano, you don't know how to play the piano. You can't touch the piano. But the way sometimes it becomes somebody else when he's playing. He let it go, and it splits. He will share strong things, and that things will heal you, and that love doesn't belong to him. So many artists will say, "I don't know if I exist."
Wow!
But it means a lot.
Depends on your soul.
It depends. Yeah, you don't know.
Sure. You're giving me goosebumps, Fatou.
No, really.
That's amazing. And I've heard you describe your guitar as your weapon, but also as a prayer.
It's my best friend.
Yeah.
That guitar saved me. It's still saving me, because now I can, you know, on stage, I can really share my vision, you know, of the Malian music today. I'm not somebody else. This is how I see, you know, I feel the Malian music, how I want the people to discover me, how I want to connect with people with. You know, this is my vision. This is the way I compose. This is, and the guitar really helps me to make things easier. How to direct people to your music, you know.
And you also got to design a guitar, Gibson guitar. How much fun was that?
The colorful one.
Yes.
I love the colors. Thank you, Sisa, for your dress, because this is, I love the red color. It's
your
like even my hands, you know.
Tebe Magugu
dress. Always red. I need the red colors everywhere.
Yes.
And
was that a fun process to design?
Yeah, amazing. So easy. It was easy for me.
Wow.
Because we've been working together with Gibson for 3 years. Mm. And I always was asking for a blue guitar, red, yellow. Mm. I was always changing the guitars. Then they realized that I have a problem with colors.
Okay.
Then they said, okay, do you mind if you propose us a design? We're going to create your own guitar.
Oh, wow.
Then you don't need to change 1,000 times because your staff is tired. You are tired. We are almost tired.
You're making us tired.
It's going to be great. To have one that we know that can fit with
all your colors,
your outfits, you know, yeah, all the time. So then I said, okay, give me a pen. Let me work with a drawer. And we've been working on a guitar that you got all my colors, mm, based on the red color, yellow, all my favorites, black, a little blue, everything.
A little bit of everything.
Then you take it and it fits with any type of outfit.
Wow.
So now it's done.
And that's the guitar you still play?
That's my guitar now.
Wow.
Have my own guitar.
Incredible.
The first female artist, you know, Africa, from Africa, having also. So it means, I'm sorry about that, but...
Nothing happens by chance, Fatu. So I'm wondering now if that clothing collection is going to come one day so we can see the designer in you
the
come out more.
The poor designer. Honala, that's going to work with me.
Yeah.
It's going to suffer.
Well, they'll be
lucky.
Yeah,
a lot, because I'm crazy.
They'll be lucky. But
I hope so.
Finally, Fatu, I want to talk to you about the concept of home. So I know in France you were adopted by Dominique and Francine at the age of 19. And when I look at you, there's something sacred about how you've chosen to live, right? But where is home for you?
Home for me is a little place in my village that is called Kurulamini. That place is like a little water in the forest.
Okay.
Where my ancestor was supposed to go every time. And the graves of my ancestors.
Oh, in that area?
In that area.
Okay.
So I always go there, and I always go to pray there. And when I'm there, I'm totally another person.
Yeah.
I feel like in the paradise. So Mali is home, definitely. It's in Mali.
Mm. Child of the world, but Mali is home.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because you look at all these Africans, some, you know, who are part of the diaspora, who sometimes find themselves in other parts of the world, not always by choice. Mm. Sometimes it's opportunity. Sometimes it's by chance.
Mm.
And the concept of home is different for everyone.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it's
yeah,
amazing
yeah,
that
yeah,
for
yeah,
you, it's this little
home
village.
It's like being in touch with, yeah. The stage is also home for me.
Mm.
I really feel like breathing on stage. But that place is like a nowhere in the world to me. So when I go to Bamako, nobody see me, you know. I don't go. Sometimes I go to the TVs, you know. They're all looking for me. But I will escape and go to the village.
Yeah.
3 days.
Yeah.
Just like connecting and meditations and just...
Solitude.
Then I go back on the road because I know many people ask me, why, how you can tour like this and being stable? Because I tour a lot.
Hmm.
Sometimes the fact that you sleep in the different bed, changing every day, rooms and place, hotels, being flying, can really destabilize you. You can drug yourself and drinking a lot of alcohol. Then you get tired. You can't stand with that life. It's crazy life.
Mm.
It looks easy being on stage, but music is strong with me. The music is, it's a crazy business,
mm,
really.
Yeah.
So keeping your connections, because the love that I want to spread to my audience, I want that to be also clean, coming
yeah,
from something
pure,
organic. Yeah, pure, pure. I want it to be really... something that is good for me.
Yeah.
I wanted them to feel that water, very pure, sane, you know. And how you can talk about something clean if you are not yourself clean and in peace and sharing the good, that good energies to people. So for me, it's part of the process. So that's why I don't drink alcohol. I don't smoke and I drink a lot of water. Then on stage, we just rehydrate ourselves. It's like drinking tea and yoga, you know, different way of yoga, you know.
Yeah.
We need water. Yeah. We need water, you know.
Staying pure and hydrated.
Yeah, hydrated, together, you know.
And what are Fatu's future plans? I know you're currently busy with your new album, The Massa Tour, and this is your first stop, right, of 50 stops. We're lucky to have you in Cape Town. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Where to next, Fatu?
Crazy. The next, it's like touring. The album is coming out. We're working hard. And we are going on tour. And I would like to take time for my little babies in Mali. That's one of my anxiety. Having time for those children that they need me. And they were so happy, you know, last time that I did that event with them. So I know that they're waiting me to make that one, make another, you know, event with them. And it seems like this year is going to be difficult because I couldn't make it last year.
Mm.
That's one of things that is, that I would like to achieve there in the future, giving more love
to Mali,
the
children,
to children in general.
Well, you once said that when the crying stops, you are left with a choice to give up or to survive. And what you have done is something even greater than survival, Fatu. You have transformed survival into song, into courage, into a kind of light that others can follow. Your guitar, as you say, is a weapon, but it's also your prayer. And perhaps the most beautiful thing of all is that even for those who do not understand Bambara, they understand you. Fatu Wata, thank you so much for being on the African Imaginary podcast with us. It's been an absolute privilege to get inside your spirit as well as your soul. And thank you for sharing it with
us. Thank you for having me here. I'm so blessed. Thank you so much. Thank you for your love.